Yes, hello folks, welcome to Beyond the Pitch, the weekly Manchester United show. I'm your host as always, Phil Brown, and delighted to be joined here with Dale O'Donnell, of course, from the brilliant Shreddy News. Dale comes on with me from time to time. It's been a while since I've had him on, but obviously a big Manchester United fan as well. And we're here to talk about everything that's going on at the football club, and there's a lot going on at Manchester United right now. We'll talk about, obviously, the drastic result against Tottenham, the performance, which was indifferent, some good, some bad. We'll talk a wee bit about Brighton as well, which was a disaster, and how it all links together. First of all, Dale, how you doing, mate?
Fine, Phil, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
Yes, absolute pleasure. Thanks for coming on. So much to talk about, of course, with United at the moment. We started with the result the other night, 3-0. It's a bit of a strange one because in some ways it was actually, the first half was one of United's best 45 minutes under Mourinho. As soon as they conceded, everything changed. Everything changed. Mourinho's going to take criticism, some of it deservedly, but Mourinho wasn't the one that missed an open goal like Lukaku did. Mourinho isn't the one that's missing key chances. Mourinho wasn't the one that, I know he played under the hurt in defence, but he didn't play, I think it was Lucas Moura onside, Chris Smalling, the absolute disaster that is the defence. He wasn't responsible for Pogba's disgraceful and disciplined performance. There's plenty of Mourinho's at fault for, but we'll get to Mourinho and what he's at fault for at the minute, but let's start with the players here, because surely they have to bear responsibility for this.
Of course they have. You look at that game against Spurs, and I think that's the formation and setup a lot of fans on social media have been calling for, because it's attack-minded, see the team press. But it proves why Mourinho sets up in a conservative way. That defence needs numbered support. Not necessarily quality, but it's numbered. More people back there, it looks defensive. That's the way this team has to set up. When they open up and they go all-out attack, they get caught. And that first half, although it looked brilliant, both teams weren't shown much technical brilliance, I didn't think. And they both missed opportunities. If Lukaku scores that open goal miss, it changes the tune for United. And they might go on and maybe go more conservative, close up the game, control it with that one goal lead. Whereas in the second half, it was a matter of Spurs turning on the heat and they started converting their chances. So when they got the first goal, United were in more trouble, had to open up more. And that's just not the way Mourinho sets up. And he may have done that to show the board why he wanted to sign top quality centre-halves in the summer.
Well, that is the question. Did he pick Ander Herrera to make a point? Is he, you know, I was talking to Danny Higginbotham about a week or two ago about this, and I was asking him this question. Have you ever seen a manager do this where they'll make a point where they've had players forced on them or been denied players, and will deliberately pick somebody to prove a point to the board? And his answer was, absolutely, this happens. You wonder, as a fan, is it conspiracy theorist petty thinking? But did he pick Herrera as a result of what he's been being denied players? Because there's one thing that was stood out for me was when Mourinho was asked in the press conference, well, in the interview by Jeff Shreeves after the match, not the press conference, he was asked about his back three and picking Herrera. And what is, I don't know if you saw this, but it was broadcast out here. And the first thing Mourinho did was laughed. And it was clearly a dig at Ed Woodward and United refusing to sign players. And when I looked at Mourinho's press conference, or his comments, if you look at his comments after the game where he's talking about three Premier League titles, that's what he's won. That's a Mourinho on the defensive. That's a Mourinho that is defending his reputation. And I think what Mourinho's trying to tell everybody here is, look, I'm not the only problem with this football club. And Ed Woodward should be taking the blame too. And the journalist that refused to criticise him because he gives him access and feeds him stories, Mourinho has a point about putting it back in their face and saying, why always me? There's more people to blame at this football club than me.
Of course there's more people. It's a collective issue. And although Mourinho deserves part of the blame and some criticism, I don't think he's the main reason. And I think if you sack him now, you bring in Zidane, who apparently is going to play this 3-5-2 football and lose every week because the defence isn't capable of playing that game. What's next? With the same owners, the same people running the club, and even if they get a director of football in, what suggests that role will be restricted and that Woodward will still maintain such powers? Now, we don't know what their plan is just yet, but the club is just rotted. It's in so many ways. There's no football ideology in the club. It's all business. And see this week, the shares continue going up. And this week was a great week for Man United. Brilliant week. Forget about the two consecutive defeats. We're making more money. Club's increasing in value. That's all that matters. And you have Mourinho there sitting in the middle, who everyone knows, you can never dispute this, that he's a winner. He wants to win league titles. And he'll do anything to win those titles. He'll play any type of football, as long as he's winning. But he's not given the resource or the right environment to do that. They just want top four Champions League money, and it's a clash of different personalities. So the next manager, if he's a winner, which he should be at Manchester United, it's going to be the same problem. So it's a settlement for mediocrity as long as we're making money. Ed Woodward is a front runner in that zone.
So what you're seeing, in my opinion, at United is, used to be, United be called the striker's graveyard, because it was a hard football club to come and take the pressure of delivering every week. Now it's a graveyard for everybody. Now it's, you know, Van Gaal, highly successful football manager, just goes to a World Cup semi-final, a World Cup final, comes to United, is a disaster. An absolute disaster. The worst spell of his career, right? Mourinho comes to United, the worst spell of his career. Go through the team, Mkhitaryan, brilliant player in Dortmund. It's just a terrible at United. Sanchez, brilliant at Arsenal. Terrible at United. Pogba, one Falcao. Good game. Terrible. Falcao, Di Maria. All these players that come to United. Juan Mata at Chelsea was brilliant. Mata never showed that form for United. Why not? Why is it that United cannot get players? Very few players come to United and improve and get better. Martial started out brilliant. Now he looks terrible.
You know, Sanchez.
Yeah, we mentioned Sanchez. And this keeps happening. And you're going, when I look at United, I see a team that looks, that has zero intensity, first of all. They look like they never played together. That statistic that they've spent less time in the box than anyone else is a reflection of both Mourinho's conservatism and the fact that the hardest ball to make in football is the final pass. And the pitch, just like a boxing ring or anything else, that's the moment of truth. That's where everything is told. That's where all the bluster and all the nonsense stops. We see how well a football club is run by what we see on the pitch. And it looks like a disjointed, rudderless mess that now it's going to take a miracle not to have a self-fulfilling prophecy of Mourinho's third season falling apart, because that's what it looks like to me, a self-fulfilling prophecy. People forget that Mourinho's third season at the Milan, he won the European Cup. Third season, it's all falling apart. It's Chelsea all over again. And if Woodward ever does what he does to Mourinho, what he did 2-3 weeks ago, where he essentially ended his career at United by turning around and taking players' decisions off him, who comes and who goes, then you put every manager in a noose. And this idea that Zidane's going to come in and everything's going to get fixed is just pie in the sky nonsense.
Yeah, absolutely. The Zidane thing, really, like, it's such a harsh criticism, given he won 3 consecutive Champions Leagues. But does it really reflect him, truly reflect him as a manager? You know, he's such a great team. Ronaldo, Bale, Isco, Modric, Cruz, such a great team throughout that time, and at their peak. It's not, he didn't exactly stamp an identity on football in the same way Pep Guardiola did. You know, people are trying to make that comparison because of what he won in such a period of time. What way does Zidane play football? Is it his own identity? I don't think so. I can't identify it, but the difference with Guardiola while he was successful is a sense of identity. And the same thing goes back here at Manchester United. That's the biggest frustration in the way we play. You can just use labels like conservative, defensive. That's not an identity. That's not true identity where people describe a Guardiola place. So I think fans are quite angered by that. They want to see, what way do we truly play? Do we know when to attack? Do players know how to attack?
It's not Zidane. Well, it's not Zidane I'm worried about. I think Zidane, look, top class manager. What he's done at Real Madrid, you have to, anyone that wins three European Cups is a top class manager. I mean, I think the great managers make it look easy. I think people had this question mark over Guardiola. Now, to be fair, he's never won a European Cup since he left Barcelona, but you're right, he stamped authority, he stamped his identity over the game. There's a very clear correlation between what Guardiola brings to a club and how they play. But when I look at United, why would Zidane succeed where Mourinho and Van Gaal, let's be honest, two very experienced coaches that have worked for the biggest clubs in the world, have failed?
Yeah.
But why would Zidane come in? Because this is why the problem is so much bigger than the manager. I know that the most visible people in the club are the manager and the players, and therefore they take the blame, many of it rightly so. But you cannot have a situation at Manchester United where a businessman is making football decisions over the head of highly decorated football managers. That is destined for failure. And if you want to do that, then you better make sure after the match you're doing a press conference explaining why United played the way they played. Because you're as much responsible for that mess than what Mourinho is. Ed Woodward should turn around and face the cameras and say, "Look, this that team is out there because I made the decisions on which players are good enough and which players aren't," which he did. If you're going to turn around and give Anthony Martial a 5-year contract over the head of Mourinho because you think Anthony Martial will outlast Mourinho and his happiness is directly related to Mourinho, then you are a part of the problem. Paul Pogba, who is a disgrace, magnificent football player, magnificent Rolls-Royce player, and can make you look really silly. Because one week you can praise him to high heaven, and then the next week he can go out and do something where you just have your head in your hands and going, "What is he doing?" Paul Pogba admitting his attitude was wrong. Well, his attitude was wrong this week too. And he's walking around this field playing like it's a five-a-side, couldn't care less about tactical discipline. And really, it's not fair to Mourinho. Mourinho signed this guy for £90 million. He gave you the captaincy. He threw the gauntlet down. And you're telling me a week after being given the captaincy, your attitude's wrong? Pogba let Mourinho down.
Pogba's letting himself down and everyone down at the moment. Like the other night, for instance, so much lack of urgency from him. And I didn't quite get that from the other players. I thought that even though we lost 3-0, there was a sense of fight, and like there was against Brighton. But just looking back at the Woodward issue and the influence he's having and being totally toxic, like there was a claim that United met with Zidane in LA. And of course, Mourinho wouldn't be surprised with that, would he? And this Ed Woodward went back behind Van Gaal's back.
Of course.
Talked to Mourinho while Van Gaal was still managing Manchester United before he went on to win the FA Cup. So Woodward's certainly capable of such a manoeuvre. And let's not forget, too, his influence at Brighton after the game while Mourinho was doing press work. It was alleged that Woodward entered the dressing room. What is he going to say to the players? You know, like, as you mentioned, he's a businessman. So what was he in the dressing room? I don't understand. And apparently he left before Mourinho got back. You know, that also undermines the manager. He should never be there in the first place unless United are after winning an FA Cup or something of that scale. He shouldn't be in the dressing room. It's toxic.
Well, at that point, it's incumbent upon Mourinho to draw lines and say, "This is where I quit. This is where I say no more." And if you're going to continuously be undermined, but continue in the job, then you send a message to your boss that this is okay. So it's up to Mourinho to say no. Mourinho is a highly decorated manager. I don't care what happens at Manchester United. He will walk into a top job. And he had a great point yesterday. Look, he's realizing what everybody else at Manchester United already knew, and he didn't know until he came, was that Manchester United, you're judged on a standard that you aren't judged on at Chelsea or anywhere else. You're going to get scrutiny at United that you won't get anywhere else. That's just the way it is, working for the biggest football club in the country. Then that's just the way you have to accept it. And so when I look at Mourinho, if he is letting Woodward away with that, and that's actually happening, then Woodward doesn't respect him, and that's a serious problem. I think Woodward's petrified of him, and I think he deliberately avoids him. I think Woodward is also concerned that if Mourinho doesn't work, how does he explain this to the Glazers? Third manager on your watch, it hasn't worked. That's asking. Now, once again, Woodward will know if we bring in another manager, that's going to mean a massive spending outlay. Do we really want to do that? If you look at that team against Spurs, there's no confidence in any of those players. Victor Lindelof looks petrified of playing for Man United. Now, I think there's a defender in that kid. I do. But I think it's very, very difficult for any defender in United to build momentum when it's constantly changed. The defence can't build momentum when it's constantly changed. So I think, just to finish off this point, Woodward has no business being in the dressing room, but it's up to Mourinho to say this is unacceptable. When Ferguson wanted to sign Dwight York, he called Martin Edwards and asked him what the state of negotiations was. Martin Edwards turned around and said, well, I've got Brian Kidd in my office, and myself and Brian Kidd don't really think he's the answer. Fergie went nuts, reminded him who the manager was, and Dwight York was signed. That's what Mourinho has to do. And if he doesn't get the right answers, then he has to be willing to walk.
Of course, you know, we mentioned with Guardiola stamping authority. In a slightly different situation, that's what Mourinho needs to do. That if he lets him walk all over him, his job is going to be an impossible one, because he's not going to get the resources or the right environment to truly blossom this team and get the most out of it. And that's why I alluded to Woodward being just totally toxic. You give a man a new contract, you refuse to back him, and then you brief to the media a total kind of mockery of the manager, undermining him by going to the dressing room. Why did they give him a new contract midway through the season? Was it because Mourinho maybe hinted about the Paris Saint-Germain move and made Woodward sweat under the collar? Because I wouldn't be surprised if Woodward jumped at that bait, because he doesn't really understand the football world. He's still very much a rookie. And beyond end all, he's a businessman, so he's never exactly going to be able to make those calls at the right time.
But if you look at United and you look at the power structure at the football club, it tells you everything about what they truly value. Who makes the decisions at the club? You know, who makes the decisions in your house? Who makes the decisions at your company? In the football board at United is purely theatrical. It's instrumental. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't have any power. It doesn't have any decision-making ability. That's Richard Arnold and Ed Woodward. And United are impeccable on the business side. But on the football side, look, this would have happened a long, long time ago if Ferguson wasn't at the football club. The reason why the Glazers got away with it for as long as they did was because Ferguson was there. The reason why David Gill's reputation is still intact is because of Ferguson was there. Because if David Gill was working for Van Gaal, or working for Mourinho, or working for any of these other managers, his reputation would be in tatters too. Because he missed out on players all the time. For those of you who want to turn around and say David Gill is being missed too. No, he's not missed. In fact, he's a large part of the reason why United are in this mess. Because he, of course, went back on his own word whenever the Glazers first tried to buy the club and soon acquiesced with them to make sure they owned the football club. But their ownership structure is a large part of the reason why they are in this mess. Yes, Mourinho's been given money to spend. That's true. But United very rarely buy the best players in the world. They very rarely buy top-class quality. They usually buy that player that is available on the market that very few other clubs want. In other words, Alexis Sanchez. Yes, City wanted him, but they weren't committed to getting him, so United got him. Paul Pogba, Real Madrid wanted him, but weren't committed to getting him, United got him. Lukaku, Chelsea wouldn't pay the money, United got him. But anywhere you have legitimate competition for a player, United very rarely win that race. They usually lose it. So the you're asking Jose Mourinho to go win a league against Man City that have endless pockets that will sell, because Dale, getting players out is as important as getting players in, and that's another serious problem that Mourinho told players 2 years ago they could leave. They still haven't left. So there's so many structural problems at the football club, and the fact that businessmen are making football decisions is going to lead United down a path that is going to be very, very difficult to recover from, because they're falling further and further behind City, and anybody that's watching this team can see that it's not going forward. They're still conceding goals from corners. This is a team going backwards.
Wouldn't it be great to sit down with the likes of Robbie Charlton and ask him, off the record even, his views on Manchester United 2018?
Well, I think we know the answer.
You know, it wouldn't be interesting just to sit there and listen, or even be a fly on the wall. And like, the football aspect of the club is in smithereens.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not just a reflection from what we're seeing in the pitch. I'm talking about an overall view of football within the club. It's nowhere in comparison to commercialism, making money. And you need money to run a football club. Of course you do. And you need to have the right business model in check. Because to say that football is not a business, it is, of course, but it can be a good business too. It is the right balance in place, and football people can make football decisions with the help of the business people. But the problem is the percentage, the scale of business people compared to football people at Manchester United, it doesn't compare. And that's, as you just alluded to, that this issue will take a long, long time to recover from. Well, whole club to be totally changed.
Well, you talk about a club being a business. There's nothing wrong with a club being a business. It's about what drives your business. What's your motivation? What's your goals? The goals of that business are truly what matters. Being a business, you're quite right. You need a lot of money to run a football club. You need a lot of money to compete. You need to generate lots of money. The commercial side of it is an accepted evil. We're okay with that. What I don't want to see United do is dilute culture, dilute tradition in the pursuit of profit. So we're going to play our 37th game in Kuala Lumpur. Come on, right? Is there nothing sacred? So, and we're going to see this with La Liga, but yes, it's all about what, you know, Barcelona are a business, but Barcelona, their goals are football goals. We will generate our revenue through and be a successful football team. United are selling illusions. We will generate a profit on the back of selling you marketing statements. We're the biggest football club in the world. We get the biggest fans in the world, 660 million. Whoever made that number up. Right? Absolute nonsense figures. Right? Biggest football club in the world is a marketing slogan. That's how United are making their money. Is on the theater of dreams, illusions.
Yeah, and of course, and do you know what? This actually comes back to the way we play football, and because people had this ideology that there's the United way. You know, absolute rubbish. There was plenty of shit years where United played bad football, and you know, of course there was. Same way, people. Oh, there's always a West Ham way, or it was a complete myth. And if a club can't run the way it used to run, which there's no one that can dispute that, how can we expect the same things when it was a proper football club? You know, we can. It's very easy to point the finger to the manager and Mourinho and Van Gaal that were given bad environments to work in. The club is on its head. It's not prioritising what the fans want. Fans are numbers.
If you look at United prior to Ferguson and after Ferguson, and if you look at United in between Matt Busby and Ferguson, if you look at the period of history after Matt Busby left, right, United were soon relegated after Busby left, 10 years after winning the European Cup. It tells you the club wasn't run well. Then, it's smattering of a cup here and there with Ron Atkinson and different managers, and Ferguson comes in and almost gets to sack himself, but then Steers United on a period of unprecedented success, really success that they had no entitlement to expect based on their outlay. So Ferguson's genius over 25 years of United underspending in the market in comparison to the rivals, but still delivering European Cups. You look at what United were spending the last 3-4 seasons of Ferguson's tenure, and it's ridiculous. And still he was winning league titles. So United were successful for two periods in their history, down to two geniuses, down to Busby and down to Ferguson. Outside of that, you're looking at a club that's not run particularly well. After Ferguson left and the genius of Ferguson left, then the Emperor opened the robe, if you like, and we found out that there was no clothes. We found out that all the people inside Old Trafford, a lot of bluffers, okay? Now we've got Ferguson out of the way. Now let's see how you really run as a football club. Let's see how you compare with everyone else that hasn't had the benefit of working with a genius. And now we see United's football acumen, which isn't great. And now we see that they really don't, they don't deserve the reputation of being this exceptionally well-run football club when you look at the end product on the field is basically an amalgamation of players that were signed as a result of agents offering them and because they were a bit good, but not as a result of a vision and saying, this is exactly what we want and we will wait to sign the right players to get it. You just feel like everything at United is so rudderless.
So, what's going to change? You know, so while the Glazers are there, nothing's going to change. And even if they leave, bosses say the next show will be the same. The club's worth nearly $4.5 billion now. Can't see or read or so about anyone willing to spend that much to buy out Manchester United. And even if they do, will they care about the fans? Because again, do you know any United fans with that much money?
But Dale, they don't need. All they need to do is not care about taking out a massive profit at United. That's all they need to care about. And then putting people in place. If you're Jeff Bezos from Amazon, United's a drop in the ocean, right? But it's a massive brand globally. If you run United where making a profit isn't the priority, playing exceptional football is a priority, because it's whether it's a vanity thing or not, you can accomplish that. But if your priority is profit, it will show on the pitch. Now, the question that United have to ask themselves is, can they be profitable to the degree that they want to be whilst not prioritising trophies? And that really is the question, because people will point to the spend after after Ferguson left, which I agree is significant. But look at how United want to spend. You know, you talk about they're trying to buy brands, not players.
Wasn't there a story a few years ago, this could be complete rubbish, about Barcelona and Real Madrid, that when Madrid signed Beckham, they did it for business reasons.
Sure.
With Ronaldinho going the other way, that he wasn't as attractive as Beckham, so they signed him instead. I was thinking, in football comparisons.
No, they did that with Frank Ribery.
Oh, that was it. It's crazy.
Whenever they were buying Kaká and Ronaldo and all that summer.
That's a fair amount of years ago. It was happening. This was happening a long time.
No, it's been going on for a while. Look, I've always said, if you want a vision of how the Premier League will look in 15, 20 years, maybe not even that long anymore, you need to look at American sports, because the Premier League models itself on the NFL. The NFL is by far and away the greatest sporting marketing outfit in the world. No one comes close. NFL generate money like you wouldn't believe. And nobody does better sports marketing. English, La Liga, all these clubs. Look, Emilio Butragueño was over working for the Dodgers 20 years ago in looking at merchandise and marketing and how they do this. So European clubs have been copying American sports teams for decades now. Now American sports teams are copying European clubs and how to distribute content, and they're piggybacking off each other. You'll see Premier League football players taking pictures with NFL players and vice versa when they go to London. So they're using each other. What we see here is what we'll see in the Premier League and the continued dilution of culture, because the generation that comes after us, they'll become less and less conditioned to the things that you and I hold dear. So, you know, when you're getting a generation of young kids whose introduction to football is primarily down to video games, they don't care about whether it's still, you know, whether you play games abroad or not. That won't matter to them.
But haven't we seen that with the debt of a number of great fanzines. That it's the same kind of that culture is just being dragged away, and the people that produce the fanzines can see that, and they really can't be arsed anymore, and because it what they loved has been taken from them.
And that's what happens, is that the older generation drops off. But this continue. This happens, and it's been happening for a long time. Look, I remember whenever satellite TV came in, Sky TV, and I remember everyone saying, and you'd be too young for this, but I remember everyone saying back then, "That's it. I'm done with football. I'll never watch it." The 90s, see it football, and everyone has that red line in the sand where they say they'll never watch it. But football and watching football and following a football team doesn't adhere to any logic. None of it makes sense. People who don't follow the sport are completely bemused by the emotional investment that you and I and other fans would have in it. So having it make sense to you, it's never made sense. It's just something that you do. It's something that inherent. Why do you love a football club? Try to answer that question. I don't know.
Yeah, for instance, after the game against Brighton, the defeat, like it was the way I felt afterwards. But I was thinking about the next game against Spurs. The way I felt that night after Brighton, like no way would you go back for more. But I didn't even give it a second thought. And straight away, tuned in, you're getting that optimism back, and maybe this week will set things right. Right, no matter how bad things get, there's always 1% or more.
Of course.
Maybe this week. Back on track, and it's a drug because no matter how many ups or downs you get, they just make those ups feel a lot better.
Of course. So this is exactly what owners capitalize on. This is why they raise prices every year. This is why the price of replica shirts goes up every year, because there's something that doesn't adhere to any other industry that does the sports, where people will completely abandon logic, because they know that there's a culture of, if you don't have the latest shirt, you're not the best fan, and if you don't have this, you're not the best fan, and if everyone's competing to be a top rate. And so I go to games, I go to more games than you, I'm a better fan than you, I go to away games, this nonsense, right? And owners capitalize on that. And so, I think that the lunacy and the complete abandonment of logic that we do when we follow sports teams is something that it will never make sense to us. In the exploitation of fans, the fans are the most important part of football, and yet they're
It's
the.
also a state of society
Sure, of
that
course.
we have to upload how many games we've been at this
Of
season,
course.
that 10, 20 pictures, uploads or updates from being at a game, just to show everyone what you were doing. So owners obviously know fans are interested in that, so they bring out an app, so people are sharing things. They know it's all about social media too, and that's
Bang,
society.
there you are. Social media. That's exactly it. It's social media. Where you and I in the past, where fans used to socially, what football clubs meant to fans, supporters groups, was it was your life. That was your social life. You went to away games. You got in grubby trains. You fought with away fans. You had a drink. You had a laugh, and it was primarily a male activity. Now it's changed. Now it's a family activity. Now they're trying to cut out the bad language, and there's no singing, and everyone needs to sit down, and so it's a sanitization of the sport, to making it not it's for families, and we're all going to sit down, and we're all going to be quiet, and we're going to observe it. So it's always been amusing to me when I hear a commentator say that the atmosphere is not quite there. I was listening to NBC Sports yesterday talking about the atmosphere is not quite good at Old Trafford. It hasn't been good at Old Trafford for a decade.
Yeah.
Why is that bemusing to people? Look, football sanitized itself of that. It wanted rid of the great unwashed. So too late.
I think it's just a bad habit in commentary when you have that
Sure.
moment of maybe 10 seconds where nothing's going on, and you refer back to the old notebook of Old Trafford's a library or a morgue. But you won't forget the nights that at Stoke City, where the atmosphere is fantastic, or Old Tra or Anfield's famous atmosphere, it's all turned into cliches. But look, as you said, it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone working in the football world should know, and if a commentator is bringing that up surprisingly,
Well,
Helen.
you said something about cliché there. Well, that's really important. Anytime you hear someone talking clichés, be immediately suspicious. So when you hear people say things like Mourinho's lost the dressing room, it's actually he hasn't lost the dressing room, which may be the most concerning thing. The fact that the vast majority of those players are still playing for him. There's some players that aren't. Some players couldn't care less. Some of them we've already named. Some of them, look, some of them don't deserve to be criticised. I thought young Jesse Lingard come off. It played his heart out the other day against Spurs. Ran himself into the ground. I thought he showed that he cared. I don't feel comfortable with Ander Herrera being blamed. I think Ander Herrera is quite a good midfielder. Some people like him, some people don't. But just finally on this, because I want to make a point, Dale. I went on Talksport the middle of the week, and I defended Mourinho quite a bit. Not because I think, he deserves to be defended as a United manager, but because there's so much criticism of Mourinho that is complete and utter nonsense. And people are such prisoners of the moment, of the last 90 minutes. And you hear people say, I never want another trophy again. Why? Because of a 24-month spell at Man United? The guy's been successful everywhere he's been. What are you basing that on? The Brighton result? This is a
Well,
guy that's won more than everyone combined in the league.
course, and the other night with the way the biggest positive was Luke Shaw's performance.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic.
Sure, it
And
was excellent.
if you turn a table, and that was Pochettino that was after getting that performance at a Shaw, it'd be all in the papers how Pochettino's fantastic and the best of a player. Whereas Mourinho, there's still people have the view that he's never improved a player. Where was the praise from Mourinho after that, after that game? Because I heard from a number of people that Mourinho was in the touchline, constantly encouraging Shaw, clapping and praising throughout the game. I had a bit of a moment with him after the game, congratulating for the display, because he looked like a United player that night. Paul Pogba looked the polar opposite.
When you talk about improvement on players, maybe 70% of that is down to the player himself. Is
Yeah,
it?
I totally agree. Anthony Martial is the biggest example of
Yeah.
that.
And so if you have a player that's lazy, you have a player that has no personality, you have a player that doesn't want to overcome the difficulties, the hurdles in his way, you'll never improve that player. Cristiano Ronaldo would have been the best player in the world had he have played for, I don't know, Sutton United. Because he wanted to be the best player in the world so bad. All he needed was a ball and a football pitch, and he would have accomplished it. So, yes, I agree there's certain things managers can do to help that process, but ultimately it's down to the player. And players will develop if they really want to. And there's no excuse for not achieving development at a club like United that provides every resource that you could possibly need to be the best that you can be. But Ronaldo going into training at 7 in the morning before everybody else and staying after everybody else, that's his decision. If Martial doesn't want to do that, then that's up to him. Mourinho can't make him. But just to finish on this point, we were talking to Ben Thornley in one of our podcasts a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about Mourinho's criticism of players in public. And he dropped a hint and said, look, when you ask players when they're not fit to train, to do extra training, and they refuse to do it, eventually you get frustrated. You call them out in public. Which tells you that Mourinho is telling players they need to get fit, they need to take their career seriously, and they aren't. And so you can't run the agent every time someone says something that you don't like and tell them you want out. And by the way, Mino Raiola's comments, Paul Pogba was responsible for every single one of them. Because he hires Mourinho Raiola, and he knows exactly what's being said before it's said.
Yeah, and just adds to the whole toxic environment, players flexing their muscles, knowing the manager's under severe pressure, kicking the man while he's down rather than putting an issue aside, meeting like men and saying, let's get this point behind this, let's sort ourselves out, get back on track. Everyone knows the bread and butter for United is the Premier League, for us fans anyway, at least. And I just don't see it from a number of players. I think are good players that they're putting the shift in at all. So back to where we said that it's a collective issue. Mourinho, players, the board, the whole lot, the route.
All right. Do we see a repeat of the Chelsea season? Does Mourinho last? Does he turn us around? What do you think happens?
Well, we've kind of seen some repeats of the Chelsea season, I think, with some of the theatrics after games, after defeats, and what I describe as party politics. Because everyone's against me. Let's speak to the fans, because they're already angered by Woodward's behaviour, and get them on my side. You see now in the Sky Sports interview, after sharing a moment with the fans, he was saying the fans don't read papers. Mm-hmm. Keeping them on side, party politics. Of course,
that's exactly what he's doing.
And one thing I will give Mourinho, very few managers in world football has clocked on when it comes to media and Jose Mourinho. Everything is calculated and done at certain times, and he knows when to turn it on. Now, the problem he's going to face here is people know what he's doing. People are aware of this. It's a trend. So it might not pay off the way it previously did. And building this siege mentality is all well and good. Ferguson did that at times, but it's all well and good when you're winning. When you're a loser, you're not winning things, you look a bit silly. And Ferguson didn't look silly. And at times in Mourinho's career, even when he was successful, has looked silly.
Well,
So all I'll say is buckle your seatbelts. This could be a ride.
Well, look, when you're going to create a siege mentality, us against the world mentality, and you're going to get in the trenches, make sure you're not in the trenches with Tinky, Lala, and Poe. Make sure you're actually not showing up with the Teletubbies or something like that. Right? Make sure you're actually showing up with players and people that you'd actually want to be in the trenches with. Because this is the problem, is that when Fergie was creating a siege mentality, he had Roy Keane. He had players in that dressing room that were willing to fight for him. He had Stam. He had, you know, players in that team, Van Nistelrooy, that were willing to give him 100%. Schools. Players that weren't going to hide. You know, when you're turning around and creating a siege mentality, and then you've got Pogba walking out in the pitch deciding to treat like a five-a-side, then you look silly. You know, that's the problem. And Mourinho cannot be blamed for Paul Pogba. He's been given every leeway, and I hate to say this, but maybe Moyes had him nailed on when Moyes said, how old is he and he wants to change clubs again?
Yeah. Exactly, and I think we may have said this before, a lot of people know Pogba didn't want to come back to Manchester United. It wasn't his preferred destination at all. Madrid would have been preferred. In January of last year, Guardiola referenced the Pogba offer from the agent. I believe that, rather than saying that Pogba is totally happy at Manchester United, which he hasn't been for some time. To be honest, in ways, maybe he has a point. The way he's carried himself leads a lot to be desired. And I think that's going to reflect worse on him before it does on Mourinho. I think fans are already kind of turning on Pogba, knowing that there's just such a cracking player ready to blossom. And instead of putting some issues behind them, straight away came out attacking Mourinho after giving him the captaincy this season. Such silly thing to do to the Sunday papers, and just made things bubble worse for Mourinho. And he's already, as I alluded to, he's already under severe pressure. Some fault of his own, but additional pressure isn't welcome. And I think Pogba, at this stage, I'd probably sell him.
Well, look, just to go back to what you were saying about Mourinho, everything's calculated. When Mourinho giving Pogba the captain's armband was calculated. He knew exactly what he was doing. What he did to Rooney was calculated. He gave Rooney the rope to hang himself. He played him, said, look, you're not good enough, you have to go. And he got rid of him, and he'd done the right thing. And that was predicted that he would do that. He knew. Listen, the club that Mourinho took over was fractured, disjointed. He had a lot of people in that dressing room that he knew and trusted. So he knew exactly what he was getting into. He tried to fix it and realised it's very, very difficult to take a cancer and remove it from the dressing room when the person responsible for cutting the cancer out doesn't want to do it. It's not Mourinho's job to sell players, it's Woodward's job. And Mourinho told players a year ago that they could leave. He's still relying on those players. because of Woodward's reluctance to sell them. Because you sell them, you got to replace them. And I don't think United really want to spend the money to replace these players. Talking about, look, Alderweireld. Spurs dropped the price to 35 million. United still balked and said no. It's told Alderweireld will come back in a year's time. Absolute joke. Absolute joke. So, very difficult. It used to be, I said, that Chelsea was a difficult club to manage because you don't have control of the personnel. And any boss that doesn't have control of who comes in and who comes out, if you can't sack somebody, you have no, you don't respect their authority. So we're quite limited to what they can do to you. That's a situation when you find himself in at United. Before we go, Dale, anything you want to mention before we go?
No, I'm good. Thanks for having me. And it's always a pleasure coming on and talking all things United.
Always a pleasure to do this with you, folks. I'll be back again with my regular co-host, Martin Woolwork, who's just getting over strep throat. So good luck, Martino. And he will be back here doing this United show with me. Possibly we'll knock another one out later on in a week. We'll see how he feels. Thanks to all of you who download the show, who follow me on Twitter. And as I had mentioned on my Twitter feed, folks, I'm looking at some new freelance opportunities. So if you're out there, you're looking to bring someone on, give me a shout. I have some new opportunities opening up in some time, so give me a shout. But thanks, Dale. Thanks as always, and good luck with Stratty News, mate. You're doing a great job. And don't you have your own podcast, another podcast that you're just starting?
Yeah, well, we have the Stratty Cast with Stratty News, which is just solely focused on United. But I'm kind of releasing something on my own, maybe some interviews with journalists, but mostly talking about myself, like general football topics, called The Final Whistle, but that hasn't started just yet.
Okay, well, good luck with that. All the best, Dale. Thanks, mate.
Thank you.
Cheers, folks.